Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. My name is Marcus Speller.
I am jubilant Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Pete Donaldson. I forgot then.
Oh, hello, everybody. I haven't forgotten. It's lovely to have you with us. How are we doing, chaps? Peter, you okay?
Clearly not. Clearly having some kind of presentorial breakdown. Is that a thing? Let's make it a thing.
If it is, you've definitely had one.
What did you think was going to happen when you got your microphone ready and heard us all in your ears?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was like, I heard Luke's voice and I was like, something happens here.
Did you sort of temporarily forget who you are? We've all been there.
Yeah. I mean, Jim, don't you get involved. I remember your performance in Leeds, I think, on the live tour when you do a bit of singing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Peter.
No, Sheffield.
It was Sheffield.
Sheffield, that's it, yeah.
Peter, that's a very low blow. It was the only, bearing in mind, we had to do how long did the song go on for? Sort of 2 to 3 minutes where we all had our formations and we had to sing. And out of what, 16 live shows, only once did one of us ever so momentarily make a slight error, and you're highlighting that today.
And how many shows and how many Football Ramble Daily shows have we done? Thank you very much. The percentage, the Pardew percentage wins.
Good night.
It's a Tim Sherwood win percentage shout. The standard Donaldson deflection tactic.
Yeah. Oh, get your dead cat off my table.
Well, gentlemen, before we start today's show, we have a very special announcement to make. Ladies and gentlemen, you asked and we answered. I am delighted to announce that you can now listen to ad-free episodes of Football Ramble Daily by signing up to our Patreon page. Every single episode of Football Ramble Daily can now be listened to without any adverts. Just sign up to our Friend of the Ramble tier on our Patreon page and you can start listening straight away. You'll continue to receive weekly episodes of Ramble On and the Mailbag too, as well as the other bonus content we put out every week for our Patreon subscribers. You can listen to this ad-free Football Ramble Daily feed on almost any podcast app. So just sign up now for just $10 a month at patreon.com/footballrambledaily. That's patreon.com/footballrambledaily, you beauties. Good news, eh, Luke?
Yeah, very good news. Very, very happy to be able to deliver that to our listeners. It's something that's come up time and time again. So if you want the option to listen to the show ad-free, by all means do so by signing up over there at patreon.com/footballrambledaily. I'm excited. Jim's excited. Pete's excited. Jules is excited. Andy's excited. And as you can probably tell, Marcus Speller is very excited.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I'm also quite excited that we might have a bit of football soon. Coming from our German brothers and sisters. Without a doubt, the Bundesliga, our favourite league in the world, is going
always
to return.
Yeah, always loved it. But the thing is, though, that's the, we have actually always respected it. We just don't talk about it that much because it's done elsewhere on the network. But it's a great league to come back.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's so, you know, you don't want to sort of delve too far into the idea of the German stereotypes of efficiency, but it is... It is so very Bundesliga that they've found a way, isn't it? And that they've just so clearly organised with it as well. Which is, I don't think German football was even professional to like the mid '60s. Incredibly,
yeah, 63.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, it's absolutely mad.
They'd won the World Cup.
Yeah,
mind you, same with Brazil, I suppose. Well, the German government have given their backing, of course, to the league's restart. I think there's maybe a few I's and a few T's that need a dotted and crossed. But of course, Andy and Luke map this out brilliantly on the continent, I may say. But it looks like the league will incredibly resume on the 16th of May and will be treated to the, forgive pronunciation, Riviera Derby between Dortmund and Schalke, which is particularly good for us considering what huge Schalke and Dortmund fans we are.
Where are you going with this, Marcus?
I'm just saying.
We have the right to watch this football as the same as anyone else does.
Absolutely. It's the same game.
We invented the bloody thing, etc.
I just feel, though, that I just want to put it out there that we're not jumping on a bandwagon here. We're the real deal, okay, when it comes to the Bundesliga. Hey, Petey, you bloody love Schalke.
I've always enjoyed skateboarding, me. That's why I've bought myself a little skateboard going down the South Bank with the lads.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, you know what I always do when the Wimbledon's on, I get a tennis racket. When the World Snooker's on, I buy a snooker cue. I'm that guy. And now the Bundesliga's back. I am a diehard Dortmund fan. Although they're not even, apparently you're not even supposed to call them Dortmund in Dortmund. You're supposed to call them Borussia. I've literally, to celebrate this, I am drinking a cup of tea out of my Borussia Dortmund mug today. Oh, how tragic I am. Beat that.
But you sort of look at the situation that obviously Angela Merkel and the government have kind of come together and done what can only be described as an excellent job. Obviously, a lot of big pharma is based in Germany, so obviously they had a slight technical advantage when it came to providing testing kits and stuff like that. So there is that aspect of it that they have been quite fortunate to be able to restart. But I'm so glad that... In a really selfish way, we've got something to talk about for the next few weeks.
Pete, the other thing that's really interesting about it is just that we get into a situation in when we're so used to football being, I know it's got its own differences, but it's quite uniform across the world in terms of how it's played and what the rules are and stuff. So we kind of be forgiven maybe for looking across to other countries and saying, well, if they can bring football back, why can't we do it? And actually what's really important to state is that the situations in each country are very, very different. Yeah. And they're much further along the line than we are. And of course, clearly much further along the line than places like France, Belgium and the Netherlands felt like they were. And obviously they weren't able to continue. So I don't think it necessarily says anything to about our division, about what we can do. But one thing that came out, Marcus, I mean, I'm very kind of you to point out OTC yesterday, and that's still available for people to listen to, of course. But one thing that we didn't cover, because it came out slightly after we released yesterday's episode, was that in a poll done in Germany about whether people thought the Bundesliga and the Bundesliga's vice should come back, it actually came back about 50-50.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I bring that to the table is because we're in a bubble here, and as Pete's alluded to there, and absolutely understand why, that, you know, we're desperate for it to come back if it can be done safely and if everyone can be protected, for obvious reasons. We don't need to go into what those reasons are. They're obvious. But we are in a football bubble here. We broadcast about football. It's part of our life every day. It's part of our working life, and we're huge enthusiasts of the game. But it is worth pointing out that not everyone in Germany is behind this. And as Andy said yesterday, it is a real test of their reputation to see if they can get this right, because there have been players who have already flouted the rules and have been banned, and they have to keep a really tight leash on it to make it a success. So it's still going to be something of a testing ground. But if it's done safely, it's something we can all get behind, and I'm bloody looking forward to it.
It's not going to take much for the whole thing to kind of fall to pieces, I think. How are they kind of tracking players' movements? Is it all on their mobile phones? Are they Nile Ranger kind of ankle bracelet-ing it? How's it working?
I don't know the detail of how they're tracking and tracing the players particularly, but they've got a system in place where there's regular testing, and they've got they've been able to run games where they limit it to only a certain amount of people being necessary to be in the stadium for it to happen. And so it's I think that obviously they've got a handle on the spread of the virus and all that kind of stuff. But I think it will be under constant review, and they will need to work hard to win the public over more broadly. So it really is a kind of watch this space situation at the moment.
Yeah, I think one of the things, I mean, I'm looking forward to it coming back again for selfish reasons, because even now, so far into the lockdown, I find myself on a Saturday or a Sunday just absentmindedly looking forward to match of the day. Do you know what I mean? Just thinking, I'm looking forward to sort of settling down in front of that later, just see what everything's there isn't one. So actual football returning, where it's live and you don't know what's going to happen. It's just what a treat that's going to be. It's the little things, isn't it? Not being able to predict the future because you're watching old highlights on YouTube is something I never thought I'd have to appreciate. But here we are.
As long as it doesn't kill Pete's film club, I am on board.
So you think this is going to carry on, do you? Actually, someone tweeted us to show us that there's something like 2,000 football films on Netflix, so maybe it will.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, the Bundesliga will aim to fit the remaining 9 rounds of fixtures, as well as the cup semi-finals and final, in a short time, of course, all done by the end of June. And Gary Neville was talking about this, and he said he hopes that the Premier League can watch and learn how the Bundesliga goes about restarting football. And he said, I'll be hopeful the Premier League are on their way over to Germany somehow to see how it goes. And it was the word somehow that jumped out in that sentence. And I thought to myself, well, yes, you're not sort of meant to travel. So are they going to sort of bundle themselves into the back of a van or something and get over to Germany? Fire up the Premier League boat. We're going over there.
Hide in suitcases on the plane.
The big problem with the Premier League is they can't seem to decide, or teams can't decide where to play all of these neutral venue matches. And obviously they've sort of said that St. Joseph's Park is not fit for purpose simply because of the TV cameras. You're like, well, TV cameras can be installed, surely. It might look a bit shit, but it might look like the bit on FIFA when you're waiting for the game to load. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a safer situation than actually playing in several different neutral venues.
Yeah. There's a really good article by Marcotti, Gary Marcotti on ESPN, I think it was, early this week about the plan and what could be done and how it could be implemented. The German situation was that a good number of clubs, if they didn't get football back and weren't able to get the broadcast rights money and everything, would have been in real trouble financially. I'm sure, and that's almost certainly the case. Certainly for you know, a large percentage of football league clubs in this country as well. All this stuff's got to be considered. But they can't agree. Part of the reason they won't be able to agree anyway is because the government won't give them permission anytime soon. So I don't know what's going to happen. But the biggest story, it's funny you mentioned Gary Neville, Marcus, because the biggest story I found about Gary Neville this week when I saw it on the running order was him absolutely hammering Angel Di Maria because Angel Di Maria's wife called Manchester a shithole.
Yeah.
He was like, she's awful. She is absolutely awful.
He played like a drain when he was here. Quite often you see this. He loves Manchester though, doesn't he, Gary? And I love that about him. I like it when someone is so passionate about the home.
I'm not slating him. I just thought it was funny.
He loves its real estate.
He does love his real estate. Yeah. It sounds like he's shouting his opinions out of the windows of it at the moment. He's in the news every day. He's got some.
Well, that's the thing, Jim. One thing that's really interesting about this, I think, is you're right to point it out, is the fact that we probably used to hear from Gary Neville every day anyway. But it was always about football, right? He'd be on Sky Sports News 1 minute, then doing Monday Night Football or whatever, and he would always be on the news cycle. But now he's obviously got no football to talk about. He's just chiming in on stuff. And I don't mind it because, as I said a week or two ago, I said I think he thinks that football has got a real leadership problem in this crisis and he wants to get some ideas out there. And I don't begrudge him using his platform. And on the real estate thing, obviously, he did an amazing thing for NHS staff as well at his hotels up in Manchester. So he is playing his part. Do I think he loves the attention? Yes. Do I think he wants to be front and centre? Yes. But I feel like he is at least passionate and dedicated to the sport that he loves and wants it to be better. So I've got no problem with that. I just thought it was funny that he called someone an awful person or whatever. fine time for that. Still fine time for that.
Di Maria's wife, some of the stuff she said was unnecessary. About, you know, women in Manchester and all the rest of it. I was like, come on.
No.
But Gary Neville, to be fair, Gary Neville did make the point.
Unbelievable!
Neville made the point that she probably had a bad idea of the city because they were robbed, weren't they? And obviously that's going to sort of prejudice you against the place. So he was at least balanced and measured. He's a top pundit, even when he's talking about wives.
Balanced and measured and then really going in.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, gentlemen, I couldn't help but notice that this week, on the 6th of May, marked the 11th anniversary of Barcelona beating Chelsea on away goals in the semi-final of the Champions League that time, much to the dismay and anger of Didier Drogba, of course. And to mark this occasion, Andres Iniesta's been making some surprise video calls from his home in Japan to some of the children born in the apparent baby boom that happened in Catalonia at that time. So the goal that he scored in the last minute to send Barcelona through to the final, obviously Guardiola's first season, they won, what was it, 5 or 6 trophies that year? Absolutely incredible. Such a crucial goal, really, in the club's history at that time. It caused an apparent 16% rise in babies born roughly 9 months after that match. And Gerard Piqué said straight after the match, there will be a lot of love made tonight. And he was bloody right. If this was news, I forget that this sort of happened. Does this ring any bells for you?
I remember
you,
the quote.
I just sort of think that, like, do men just portion out sex when they're sort of feeling, oh, I'm happy now, or the woman says, I'm happy now. Why are their babies always born on the anniversaries of big, like, things happening in certain areas? I don't understand it.
Well, people, when they're in a good mood, they want to, you know, make babies. Yeah. Not necessarily on purpose.
I'm in a good mood. I want to just enjoy the moment. I don't
Shag something. Is that what you're getting at?
But you've not been in a good mood since about 2012. Yeah. So that's not...
But I've been shagging constantly.
The thing about Andres and Iniesta doing this is that I just felt straight away awkward for the kids, isn't it? What's the last thing you want to hear when you're 11 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, your parents are having sex. Oh, that's my fault, that is. Your parents had sex and it's all down to me. It's weird. It's weird.
Mm. Do you know what's more unwelcome? The fucking time difference. Moshy, moshy, it's 3 in the fucking morning. Here's Andres and Iniesta for a chat.
Yeah, you know for a fact Andres and Iniesta isn't doing that in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
I'm not doing it. I'll do it if you could let me do it at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
If I can ring him in the morning in Spain.
what are you doing, Andres? I'm just, you know, just catching up with some of the sperm I inspired back in the day.
Inspired.
Grown-up sperm.
Have you ever inspired sperm before? I thought it was worth bringing to the table. So did Mr. Iniesta.
Make love all the time.
Is that a command?
Every night. Yeah. As a command. It's a celebration of the best football ramble that we've ever made. Everybody make love. Get down and make love.
For all we know, the Football Ramble Tour could have inspired a baby boom, but because we did it over a few months, we'll never actually know.
Not in Sheffield.
Well, you would think, though, actually, if I may bring it... That was an amazing show, actually.
Up yours.
Initial hiccup.
We all made love that night to each other.
But I was going to say, we've been doing the show for a while. We'd make a lot of shows. People used to have their iPods on shuffle. The chances are that people have listened to us while getting down, accidentally, of course. I know for a fact one friend of mine has lived that nightmare. So there must be others. Maybe there are Ramble Babies.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Please.
Get in touch. I will call your son or daughter. and I'm allowed. Nothing was proved. I'm clear.
Clip that out, someone.
Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, good.
I will call your son or daughter. Right, let's move on from
Requiem.
Smut and shagging. Alan Pardew was talking about his Dutch experiences this week in the media. His now former side, of course, ADO Den Haag, were 7 points from safety with 9 matches to go, and they won one of his 8 matches in charge. And Pards commented, "I thought the team responded well, and we definitely improved them." Pards also spoke about working with players from a different culture, saying, "I experience great professionalism in Dutch football, but they are needy in terms of wanting to know exactly what the game plan is and what their role is. They think about the game too much at times and could show a bit more freedom in their play."
They just want to know what their role is.
You want me to play out wide, that's fine. Am I to sort of cut inside a bit more? I'll just get on with it.
I've given the keeper his gloves. Shut the fuck up.
What makes you think in England, did he just dance? Was that training? Just do that dance.
I could just imagine that one of the players going to pass. Why is he playing number 10 again? It's his ball. He brought the ball. And why is he goalkeeper? He was here last. All right, and he's a fattest.
I don't recall him being that into Ben Arfa when he did what he wanted and showed a bit of freedom in his play. He was farmed out on the left and then dumped. Too much.
There's a limit.
Oh, Pardiola.
But the thing is, though, Marcus, right? Yeah. Can I just chime in on this and just say that I'm fairly certain, and I'm not going to get much charity and much agreement on this show for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm fairly certain that's not what Pards meant, or he might well have even been misquoted, or it was kind of out of context. Because even he must know what that's going to sound like.
Yeah.
Other than that, he's got so little self-awareness about his reputation in the UK, and he's living in a total bubble.
When you're the king, you can do what you want. So do you think that might have played into it?
Yeah, that's true.
I think he said it on a podcast, or he said it on a... You know, I'm pretty sure he said those exact words. That's a direct quote.
There's an amazing YouTube... you know, like those kind of really expensive kind of master's courses you can buy on YouTube? They're like, you know, they're 25, 50 quid.
Oh, masterclasses, right?
Masterclasses, yeah. And you can get like a masterclass from like Helen Mirren and acting and I don't know, directors directing and stuff like that, writers, artists, stuff like that. But there's one with David Moyes and also Alan Pardew talking about when they play like with a little formation board. And they're sort of showing everybody how they defeated, like, I think Newcastle got a win against Man United, and a very enjoyable one at that, admittedly. But, you know, Alan Pardew was basically just showing how Newcastle United didn't respect the centre-backs of Manchester United, and that's how they won and stuff. I was going, bloody hell.
Pete, when's your skateboard one dropping?
Kick flips with Donny.
So, Pete, can we perhaps do a little bit of detective work here? Because if I'm right, I think that we were laughing about that result because after Pardew masterminded that win over Man United, he said after the game that they played their part, which is obviously really patronising. Right. I was hoping he'd then gone on to do a masterclass as well. Like, just really rub it in. I'm now going to charge people to hear about how I did this.
If your masterclass involves the word Shola Amiobi, it's not a masterclass.
Again, you're skateboarding one.
Yeah. Can I play Pardew's advocate here for a bit?
Yes.
Because I saw this quote doing the rounds on Twitter, and a few people in the comments made the point that Dutch players are known for wanting a lot of information and for being very, very, very kind of proactive systematic. When it comes to tactics and when it comes to knowing their role and stuff like that. So could it be that actually that was just too much for Pards?
That's what I was sort of getting at, Jim, and you've just obviously said it a lot more articulate than me. The cultural background in places like Netherlands and Italy, I think, as well, is much more tactically oriented, and they also have a far better tactical understanding because they're taught about it from a very young age, whereas in England we don't quite have a similar background, and so it's probably just a culture clash. And having said that, does Pards help himself? Absolutely
yeah,
not.
Yeah, of course yeah. not, yeah.
Read the brochure, Pards.
Yeah.
Find out what it's all about.
Look at your job title, Alan.
Oh, dear, oh dear. Right, Peter. Here's a little story that'll float your ship. Kuno Becker, the star of the Goal films, has revealed that he's written a script for a fourth Goal film, Pete Donaldson.
Wow. I think he's noticed that all of the football fans are in lockdown are getting really desperate and they're watching all of the old films. Yeah. There'll be a Dan Dan a Dan Goal next year.
Well, he's got his own production company now and has apparently directed three films, and they weren't the previous three Goal films, we should state. Mm. And he said that the apparently the plot of this fourth Goal film, which he's desperate to get out there, catches up with an older Munez who has become a coach. And Kuno Becker himself said, "I wrote it with others and with a professional structure. It's a story that makes justice to the other two Goal films because the third one is a bad movie. It's a disgrace. And they did a horrible job in every single way. It's a piece of shit."
Yeah. Enjoyable.
I read that interview with him as well, and he seemed genuinely, legitimately upset and hurt and angry.
Yeah. Oh, I've edited those comments down quite a lot, Jim, for this show.
Well, it's the only kind of reason we know the words Kuno Becker, I guess. That was his kind of, you would probably call it a breakout role. But I think the budget, I said before, the first one was 40. Then that was such a success, so they upped it to 50 with all of the Adidas involvement as well. And then on the third one, 10 million. 10 million to make a football film where you have to mash real life football footage with pre kind of organized actors as well. I don't know how they managed to do it for 10 million. I've not seen it, but if we don't finish the film club at Goal 3, I'll be very upset.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you are in charge of that, Pete. So
I'm consistently upset with myself. Don't worry about it.
Aren't we all?
Oh, dear. All right. Well, let's have a quick break in which Pete can have a little teary-eyed. Okay, see you in a moment.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/ramble.
We could call it Pete and Mark's Colossal Tussle.
But we didn't. We called it Wrestle Me. Wrestle Me, Mark.
Wrestle Me, Peter.
A celebration of all things WrestleMania and beyond. And you may be thinking, I'm not really into wrestling. Well, don't worry. There's something for everyone. To be honest, it's mainly about stuff like this.
So hang on, Easy Lover was the original theme on WrestleMania.
It was. Someone heard it on the radio and went, that sums up everything about WrestleMania to me.
And this. You can really see the old back acne on test.
Yeah.
And this.
Is it worth reminding people of what earthquake John Tenta looked like at 23 years old?
Yeah, I think so.
And this.
For the record, Marty has made it very clear, and I agree and believe him, that he has never, A, had sex with his daughter, or B, wanted to have sex with his daughter.
And the people behind the face paint doing the most unique job in the entire world. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. That's Wrestle Me.
Wrestle Me, Mark.
Wrestle Me, Pete.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway, everybody. Right, it's now time for emails with PED.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
It is time for emails with PTD. And as that little message just said, if you want to get in touch with the show, it's show at footballrambledaily.com. First email comes from Thomas Russett. Hello to Thomas Russett. Evening, Ramblers. During lockdown, I've been listening to some old rambles to avoid housework, DIY, or talking to loved ones. And I came across an episode at the end of the 14-15 season where you talk about Nathan Dyer's sideways move from Swansea to Leicester ahead of Leicester's title-winning season. And it reminded me of Alex Neil's comments the same season at a Norwich fans event. Neil, who when asked the question, what's the hardest thing about signing players for Norwich, said to a room full of people from Norwich, it said, well, getting them to live here is the first challenge. I tried to sign Nathan Dyer in the summer. He assured me that he wouldn't be moving and wanted to stay in Swansea. When he signed on loan for Leicester, I called him and he told me that he didn't want to live in Norwich. And I said, have you ever been to Leicester? It's a shit all in all, and hung up.
I would like to defend Norwich here. Norwich is a lovely place.
Yeah, it's lovely. It is, but Leicester's lovely as well. I'm at the university.
You guys,
diplomatic.
On the subject of sort of fan meetings and whatever you'd call them, not AGMs, but you know, those types of things where the owners and the managers meet fans and stuff. There's a really, really good article on The Athletic probably a few weeks ago, although time is now an abstract concept in lockdown, but I think it was a few weeks ago, where it was Mark Goldberg, very, very controversially owned Crystal Palace for a while. And he was so fearful for his safety at a meeting to meet the fans that he hired Dave Courtney and Dave Courtney's pal for security. And there's
TV
an amazing... There's an amazing coverage, an amazing sort of article about it with the photos and everything that someone, forgive me, whoever wrote it for The Athletic, I forget. Dom Pfeiffer is the Crystal Palace guy there, maybe it might have been him, but whoever it was did a brilliant job. It's well worth a read if you get a chance. It is absolutely extraordinary what went on. I think that's a really nice, rich seam to mine that, the kind of where managers meet fans. Because do you remember the Redknapp and Lampard one as well? That's on YouTube, where a fan just slags off Frank Lampard in front of his face, and Redknapp really, Redknapp comes across really well there.
Yeah.
But it's a really interesting dynamic.
He called it right because he said he's a top player. He's going straight to the top. He'll play for England and all this kind of stuff. And he was absolutely spot on about Lampard, to be fair to him.
Yeah. There's an email from Robert Toms. It says, hello, chaps. Long time listener, first time emailer. Just a quick question. Do you know Felix McGath has tried rubbing cheese on the coronavirus? Easy vaccine.
Yeah, very good. Maybe horse placenta can make an appearance as well.
Was that one of the things?
Yeah, that was Robin van Persie, wasn't it? He was advised to rub horse placenta on his leg.
All that stuff they pumped into Lionel Messi that time. Daniel says hello. Daniel from Hull. Hello all. I was having a very light discussion. I don't know what a very light discussion entails, but I'm enjoying it. A very light discussion about football with a female friend. I didn't think we needed the sex, but for some reason Daniel included it, with a female friend when she said that it would be weird when football returns indoors.
I said it won't be indoors, but it'll be behind closed doors, and that football is played outdoors. It's only indoors if the stadium has a closed roof. She is adamant that football is played indoors. So do we think football is played indoors or outdoors? And I'll level with you guys. This sent me into a bit of a spin, because it's clearly behind doors all of the time.
Yeah, there are doors present, without a doubt.
Yeah, so I'm confused.
Mm. One of the things that's great about behind closed doors is that we have that's a terrible phrase for it, as you've correctly pointed out. But in Netherlands, it's called a spook duel or a ghost game.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
what a brilliant translation that is, a spook duel. That's magnificent.
Yeah, and there's a good name for it in Germany as well. I can't remember what the German name is for it. I'm sure people will know. But basically, Germany and Netherlands have a much better phrase for it than we do.
That's great. Yeah. So I actually, thinking about it, Pete, I think I'm also spun out by this. But, I mean, games quite literally are within doors, aren't they? I think it is played indoors. Just the phrase indoors doesn't mean what we think it does.
It's just very, very confusing.
In a way, it's just mad that it's taken us a month and a bit to get to this point.
What's underneath the barrel? I'm looking forward to seeing what's there.
and also, we got a lot of emails this week from people who are listening and have listened to the Football Ramble in India. And every second one of them was basically saying, I think I'm the only Football Ramble listener in India. So guys, I'm just saying, you're not alone. Don't worry about it. We've got a lot of Indian listeners, but we'd like to hear from more. And if you've got any other Bollywood football epics, please send them my way, because I want to put them into my friends from the Football Ramble Daily. And if you'd like to get to the show, as always, showfootballrambledaily.com. That's the emails.
Woo! Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for Time Tunnel.
Oh, speaking of something spooky, it's time for time for Time Tunnel. This was my selection this week, wasn't it? I opted for the show we put out that was as close to 5 years ago to the day that I could find. And the reason I did that is because 5 years seems like a long time, but I wondered how much football had changed. So the episode is called Dig Dug. It came out on the 12th of May 2015. It's available still on the Acast app. That's the only app so far I've found that that still plays shows from that far back, but I'm sure you can find them elsewhere. And if you do find them, make sure you use an app conducive to the Patreon ad-free option, should you wish. Sunderland's timely resurgence reads the synopsis. Hull City's untimely collapse and West Ham's passive-aggressive end-of-season party antics occupy the attention of Marcus, Jim, Pete and Luke this week, when they're not smothering their laughter at Harry's response to QPR's relegation. So, QPR have been relegated around this time. The chat starts about, this is an underrated aspect of Joey Barton's career, where QPR are relegated. Joey Barton, who is the club captain and kind of behaved in the way that we all know he behaved, says there were a lot of bad eggs in the QPR squad. And then there's chat about Dick Advocaat wearing a scarf. Pete heralds the incoming confusion on VAR way ahead of time, by the way, Pete.
Oh, wow.
You don't get enough credit for this. You said that video replays and video angles are far too often proving inconclusive on decisions and on and points of view. You're an absolute sage, Pete. You're a soothsayer. And Steven Gerrard using his final game at Stamford Bridge to say in a post-match interview, nice of the Chelsea fans to turn out today. When they basically gave a standing ovation. Outrageous stuff. So anyway, that's what... And there's also a mention of a Sydney Sam. And nothing... And I cannot stress this enough. When I talk about what's changed in football in the last 5 years, the bit about Gareth Bale at Real Madrid could have been put out today and it would have been exactly the same as it was 5 years ago.
Well, that weekend, Luke, Leicester City secured survival while Sunderland edged closer to it after their goalless Premier League draw. I mean, that could be said now, couldn't it, really?
Yeah.
In many ways.
Yeah. Well, it's odd, isn't it, that, as you say, Leicester... They went on that amazing run, and that was the prelude, of course, to them winning the league the following season, which is something that not even Pete Donaldson could have predicted.
Well, if we gave him the chance, he might have been able to.
Yeah, well, that's true.
It's weird, isn't it? It seems like however many time tunnels we do, that Leicester winning the league sort of looms over all of them. There's always something that seems like a little breadcrumb or a little you know, part of the trail that leads to that incredible, amazing thing.
Mm. Yeah, I completely forgot that Dick Advocaat was manager of Sunderland and kept them up.
Same.
I mean, I think of him now, I think of him being quite an avuncular, kind of friendly character. I can't remember who he replaced. Did he replace Di Canio?
Ooh. Might have done, yeah. Because I was reading news stories around that time as well, outside of what we actually produced on the Ramble. Kit Simmons, manager of Fulham.
Yeah.
Confusing. Yeah. Confusing times.
He played for Portsmouth as well. And they came, apparently Dick Advocaat came in post Gus Poyet, who came in post Di Canio. He was only there for a while, and then Big Sam Allardyce came in afterwards. It's fascinating to me about, and this time tunnel thing isn't designed to be like, oh, aren't our shows great? It's about that, you know, you might have some extra time to listen to some stuff, so you might want to go back and listen to this one for this reason. And it's fascinating to me always to go back and see something that is essentially the same, i.e. football, the big teams are the big teams and the rules stay the same and all that stuff, but it's slightly different, you know?
Yeah.
And things that come to your mind like, oh yeah, Gus Poyet and that mad period of time at Sunderland, and then Dick Advocaat turns up, and then I've completely forgot Sam Allardyce even managed Sunderland. There's so much stuff that goes on.
But even like Di Canio managing Sunderland, it's just nice to see a North East team dealing with ethical problems of their own. having to contort their ethical bodies through obstacles.
Pete, it was also, I think it was also Mauricio Pochettino's first season in charge of Spurs. They finished fifth. Southampton did really well. They finished seventh. I think that's the biggest gap between Southampton and Portsmouth ever, because Portsmouth finished 16th in League Two that season. Southampton finished seventh in the Premier League. Swansea City, remember them in the Premier League? They were an amazing cameo for a number of years. They finished eighth in the Premier League that season. And Hull City, Burnley and QPR were sadly relegated. Newcastle United stuck around about 15th. They did okay. Yeah, so there's lots of stuff to get stuck into. It was really enjoyable, actually.
9 months later, a lot of kids were born in Southampton.
That Swansea season would have been when Michi was on fire, right? Is that right?
Oh yeah.
If they finished eighth,
no, I don't think he's when he scored all those goals, because he wasn't in the top 10 top scorers that season.
Oh wow. If you
carry on talking, I'll tell you when he what season he did well in.
Well, he was a really brilliant little bright spot, wasn't he? I think he's almost become sort of the touchstone for that player that that sort of shines very brightly, but very very briefly. And
so it was a couple of seasons before, Jim. So that season he went on loan. That got him his loan on move to Napoli, because he had a very quiet season after his first season at Swansea. So he was on loan at Napoli at that point.
Yeah, Sigurdsson had moved, didn't he? Because Sigurdsson left and everyone got really annoyed, and Michu came in and they were like, oh, this is rubbish. And he turned out to be an absolute diamond for a bit.
He was just one of those players that, you know, he'll always have an amazing cameo sort of place in Premier League fans' hearts, won't he?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was just absolutely ridiculous for that one season, basically.
It's like Newcastle had a few, like Peter Lovenkrantz, like players who you just did not have any kind of interest in, and they just put a shift in, and you're like, oh, he's quite good because he actually cares about playing football.
Yeah.
He's retired now, Michu, hasn't he? He was forced to retire, he was only 32, 31, something like that.
That's a shame. Oh, yeah. Meech.
The season he did his bits and pieces were 2012-2013, and the Premier League top scorers that year were about the only players who scored more goals than him in the Premier League that season were Robin van Persie, Luis Suarez, Gareth Bale, and Christian Benteke. So the two of top five goal scorers in the Premier League were Christian Benteke and Michu, which is amazing. I tell you what, that top 10 goal scorers in the Premier League that season is an incredible lineup, because it's van Persie, Suarez, Bale, Benteke, Michu, and then the next five: Lukaku, Demba Ba, Dimitar Berbatov for Fulham, Marcus.
Yeah,
wow.
Where he was, Ricky Lambert and Frank Lampard. I almost said Ricky Lampard there. so a great little lineup. Anyway, it was a great show. Go back and listen to it if you get a chance. It's a fantastic. I like the shows that come at the end of the seasons, because you get to round up all the stuff and talk about the actual big stories, you know.
Yeah, and we also mentioned Massimo Cellino returning to Leeds. And when he got back
there you go,
after sitting and passing the fit and proper persons test, because his ban had been lifted for tax evasion in Italy, so that's all fine. He just said, nothing has been sorted out, and instead there is just shit.
It sounds like the guy earlier talking about Kuno Becker.
The Kuno Becker of Leeds United. Lovely old job. All right, then. It's now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the Masked Winger.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Masked Winger.
Who is under there? We're going to be finding out right now with the Masked Winger. I've got a mystery footballer. I'm just scrolling. When I do this remotely, I basically screenshot the email into my gallery and I've just opened a picture of a packet of sausages, which is unhelpful at this juncture. James DeCoffey is the
Luke,
person who came up with
this. Is it Wolves? Is it Wolves?
They were beyond meat vegetarian ones. They're very nice.
Fashionable.
First clue, guys. I was born on the 5th of August, 1985, and there are a lot of clues this time, so suck it.
Jim. Scott Parker.
It's not Scott Parker.
He'd be older.
It's not. But he did play under Kit Simmons.
Luke. I'll just go with Michu.
Oh, no, it's not Michu. I have been awarded 90... Oh. Marcus.
Sorry, I should have said Marcus. I should have said Marcus, right. Sorry. George Best. Carry on.
I can't disqualify people from the game completely.
No, you can't.
I think I can. I think I can.
We invented this game, Pete, and gave you to present it. It's not your game. You can't do that.
Liar. I have been awarded 97 caps and scored 28 goals for my country.
Ooh. Luke.
Go on.
Rivaldo?
It's not Rivaldo. 34.
Jim.
I.
Kyle Lafferty.
No.
That's a nice guess.
I had the pleasure of playing under Big Sven. I have played for clubs in the Netherlands, England, France, and I'm currently still playing in Germany.
This is a really good round, by the way.
Marcus. Solomon Kalou.
Oh, my word, it's Solomon Kalou!
Oh, yes. Lovely guess, Marcus.
Marcus. Beautiful! Wow.
Congratulations to you, Marcus, and to Solomon Kalou, who's since been banned from the Bundesliga for breaking protocol under lockdown. So well done to him as well.
Yeah.
They recently heard that he was 34, which surprised me. And when you said your guess, Luke, I remember thinking, Rivaldo's not 34. And then when you said all that stuff, I suddenly thought, I know Solomon Kalou's 34. This would work out. And he's been in the news recently. I'm going to have a little speculative effort. And it's gone in off the bar.
Love it.
34... And 34 and 9 months ago, something amazing happened.
When did he play under Sven?
Good question.
Yeah, when did he?
Or maybe he did one of his pickup artist courses, and that's a bit of a sort of misnomer.
did Sven spend a bit of time as Ivory Coast manager?
Yeah.
Yeah,
did
he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 2010. Was it 2010 World Cup?
So it'll be then wouldn't it? That's the only link I can think of.
Yeah, he scored his first goals in England in a reserve game against the island nation of Portsmouth, bagging a hat-trick. And when he arrived at Chelsea's training centre, he took a camera because he couldn't believe that he was going to be rubbing shoulders with the likes of Michael Ballack and John Terry. So there you go.
I think we actually met him as well, didn't we? We went to Stamford Bridge once.
Yeah, Chelsea once, yeah. Yeah,
part of the K2. So thank you very much to James McCarthy for that particular Masked Winger. That'll be back next week. If you want to get in touch with me personally outside of the prying eyes of Jim and Marcus and Mr. Luke, you can send your clues to glold@footballrambledaily.com.
Lovely old job. Lovely old job. Before we go, a reminder that we're watching Final Score featuring Dave Bautista for Pete's Film Club on Monday. It promises to be a belter.
The Animal!
Sorry?
The Animal. He's the Animal in wrestling, isn't he?
Oh, of course he isn't. do be sure to check out his jeans, which Pete has assured us are rather impressive during that
Big
film.
Jeans.
Yes, and on Greatest Games tomorrow with myself and Jonathan Wilson, we have Japan 3, Denmark 1 from the 2010 World Cup with Shinobu Yamanaka, who is he gives a totally different perspective on what we may think is a sort of a fairly standard first round group game, but actually a result that meant a lot to the good people of Japan. So interesting stuff there. So do check that out. Of course, we're back on Monday with the Football Ramble. But until then, thank you very much, Pete Donaldson.
Are you swimming a sight?
Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Yeah, and don't forget, you can now get ad-free episodes of all of our shows over on Patreon, patreon.com/footballrambledaily. Enjoy. Thank you very much for your support. And it's goodbye from me. Have a great weekend.
And thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
You're all so welcome.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway. We'll see you very, very soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.